chapter number 2, and the Luke chapter number 2. When preaching, I was thinking about examples and praying about a message for today, and God early in the week had laid Anna on my heart. And then I thought another route, and I thought about other things, but God just kept bringing Anna back to my heart. And there's only one mention of her in the Bible. One little section that we read here, but her life tells us so much. If you found Luke chapter 2, we'd invite you to stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word this morning. We'll begin reading in verse number 36. Luke chapter 2, verse number 36. The Bible says, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribes of Asher. She lived, or of Asher, she was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? Three verses here that tell us about Anna. They seem, as you're reading it, maybe inconsequential and not a whole lot there, but there's a whole lot in these three verses that we can see. The Bible tells us that Anna was a widow 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years. Now, I've tried to pinpoint down whether she was 84 years old or whether she had been a widow for 84 years. But there's nothing conclusively that tells you anyway. You go read the commentators, they say the same thing. Well, it could be one way, it could be the other. So as we look at Anna, we're looking at a senior saint either way. She's either a senior saint that's 84 years old, or she's a senior saint that's roughly 105 years old. You see, if she had been married for 7 years, 84 and 7, and then the average age of marrying in that time was about the age of 14, and you add 14 and 7 to the 84, you come up with roughly about 105 years old. But either way, however you want to look at it, she was a senior saint. Amen? And I want to preach to you this morning on this thought, a lesson from a senior saint. Amen? Lessons from a senior saint. If you look around those that are older than you and look at their lives, there's much to be learned. Amen? I don't care if you're a teenager looking at someone in their mid-20s. There's much to be learned from someone that's senior to you. Amen? If you're in your 20s and you look to someone that's 40, there's much to be learned from a senior saint. Amen? If you're 80 and you're looking at someone that's 100, there's much to be learned from a senior saint. Amen? There's nothing that we can say that we can't learn. We can always learn something if we have a desire to learn. Amen? Sometimes we might not learn anything but patience, but there's much to be learned. Anna's life here in these three verses, from what we know and what the Bible tells us, shows us four things that can be learned from a senior saint. Lesson number one, in verse number 36, the Bible says, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher." How many knows who the tribe of Asher was? There's a couple of you. There's a couple of Bible scholars, Bible students here. In Israel, there were 12 tribes. But because of a division, the kingdom was divided into two tribes, into two nations, two kingdoms. There was 10 tribes in the north, which were the tribes of Israel. And there were two tribes in the south, which was the kingdom of Judah. which was comprised of Judah and Benjamin, for Benjamin was within the borders of Judah itself. And about 800 years before the events that we're reading about here in Luke chapter 2 had taken place, the 10 northern kingdoms were carried into bondage. They were carried into Assyria and assimilated among the people. And they brought people from other nations into the northern kingdom of Israel. And that's where the kingdom and the nation of Samaria, as we read in the Bible, came from. It was considered a bastardized nation because they tried to hold on to many of the traditions of the Jews. But they also brought in the traditions from the other nations into Israel as well, and they intermingled them, and they had this hybridized, bastardized religion in what they worshiped. It's kind of like what most of America worships today. Amen? They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof in many of our churches. But we see that Asher was among the 10 tribes that was carried away and disseminated. They are called by many the lost tribes of Israel. There have been people who have tried to find them. Some say they're the remnants are those who are in Ethiopia. I remember years ago, it was on 2020 or Dateline or 60 Minutes or something in China. They have found practicing Jews in China that are Chinese but practice the Jewish religion, and they claim to be a remnant of the lost tribes of Israel. And no doubt they probably are. I would imagine that you could look all over the world, all over Europe, and all over the Middle East, and you could find little pockets and little remnants of these tribes. But they are considered the lost tribes. They are considered forgotten, forsaken, and punished for their sins. But we see that although man has called them forsaken, man has called them punished, man has called them forgotten, man has called them lost, God hasn't forgot about his people. Amen. In Revelations chapter number 5, we read how God is numbering and accounting to all the tribes of Israel. Not just Judah and Benjamin, but he's accounting to all the 12 tribes. Amen. Those that are sanctified and those that receive his special blessing. So, lesson number one that we find as we look at the life of Anna is it doesn't matter who we are, where we are, or how old we are. God does not forsake his people. Amen. Sometimes we feel forgotten. Sometimes we feel forsaken. And we might be from the world. But let me tell you something. God does not forsake his people. Sometimes we feel like no one cares and no one's aware and no one knows what's going on. And sometimes we feel like no one knows where we're at in our life. But let me tell you, God has not forsaken his people. And though we may come to the place where our hair turns silver, though we may come to the place where our hair falls out, though we may come to the place where we are no longer as vibrant and as able to get around and move around and do the things that we used to be, we come to the place where we're shut up and we're shut in and we can't get out and we can't get around. Friend, let me tell you something. You're not forsaken. Amen. You're not forsaken. God does not forsake his people. Don't let anyone tell you you're done. Don't let anybody tell you you're through. Don't let anybody tell you that because of your circumstance and your age and your situation that God is done with you, because God still uses those people who everyone else has discounted. Amen. Lesson number two. The Bible says in the latter part of verse number 36, she was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. Lesson number two. And I think some of you need to hear this lesson this morning. Amen. Is don't let circumstances make you bitter. Amen. Don't let circumstances make you bitter. Here is this young woman, roughly, let's say she was 14. She got married, was married 7 years. She was 21. Her husband dies, and she becomes a widow. And now the way I've always read it and the way I always see it, she had been a widow for 84 years. 84 years. Her life wasn't what she had thought it was going to be. The Bible doesn't say anything about a childbirth and about children. And she had times that she looked back and she could lament the fact that she had no one. I believe that Anna was familyless. I don't believe she had anyone. I don't believe she had any children. That's why she stayed in the temple. That's why she dedicated herself and her life unto God. Back in chapter number 1, when Elizabeth is talking about what God had done to her, when he put John the Baptist, here was an old woman, well beyond childbearing years, and God had made her get pregnant, her and Zacharias, amen, and she has a child in her womb, and Mary comes to see her, and she said, God has taken away my reproach. You see, not to have children in Israel, to be a woman and not to have children, to be a young woman and not to be a mother, was a reproach upon a woman. She had no children. She had no husband. She had no one. And if anybody had a valid reason to sit down and have a pity party, Anna was the perfect candidate. Amen. Anna would have felt right. No one would have said a thing had Anna got bitter. They'd have said, well, just look at what she's been through. Look at what she's going through. Look at what she's living through. If anyone has a right to be bitter, if anyone has a right to be angry, if anyone has a right to get mad at God, surely it's Anna. Look at her life. Her husband's been taken away. No one wanted a widow. Look at her life. She had no children. It's a reproach upon her. She couldn't have children. She has no children. Look at her life. What does she got to be happy about? What does she got to be thankful for? What does she got to live for? But Anna didn't allow her circumstances to make her bitter. Amen. The Bible says over in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen. What did Paul say? He said, we don't have any reason to get downtrodden, to get down mouth, to get all bitter. We don't have any reason to get discouraged and to feel that we have no help. We don't have no reason to say that I'm in this alone and I'm going through this and nobody's with me and nobody cares. When the Lord said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. I might use a line I heard yesterday. Y'all look like your meatball done rolled out the door. Amen. Don't you get it? Don't you get it? Things happen. Life happens. Circumstance happens. I was talking to Jonathan right before service. Yeah, Irma, Emma, Irma, yeah, Irma. Irma is happening, amen? And it's happening right in the worst place it could ever happen for him. It's coming to his trailer park, the eye of the storm. The worst part of the storm is going to come right to his trailer park that he's trying to sell. It's going to decimate most likely everything that he has and everything that he's got wrapped up in it. And it's easy to get bitter. It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to get down. But I told him to just keep your eye on Jesus. Don't look at the storm. Amen. And he is. I believe he's optimistic. Amen. I like Victoria's response. When she come in and heard him talking to me about it, she says, yes, but God's got something better. Amen. I ain't trying to pick on you two today. I tell you what. That's just a great way to see it. Amen. Just a great way to see it. Paul said, look, we don't have any reason to get bitter. We don't have any reason to get discouraged. We have God. Amen. When I realize that he's all that I have, praise God, I'm assured he's all that I need. Amen. When he blows the leaf off of every tree, when he blows every tree off the face of the earth, when everything is gone and all you got to do is look and say, well, I still got the Lord. Praise God, you'll find out that he's more than enough. Amen. Amen. Lord, you took my loved one. Lord, you give me this disease. Lord, I'm faced with this. And Lord, I'm faced with that. And Lord, I'm dealing with this. Look at Anna. She didn't get bitter. Praise God, she got better. Amen. She didn't start saying, oh me and oh my. She started, oh God, how good you are. Amen. What's the Bible say? She stayed continually. Amen. She lived her life dedicated unto the Lord. You know what Paul said? Sometimes we lament the loss of a loved one. Sometimes we ought to see when God closes that door in that chapter of our life, and you say, well, that's easy for you to say. You haven't lost your spouse. That's easy for you to say. You haven't lost what I've lost. You haven't lost a loved one. But you see, when God closes one door, he opens another. Amen. Amen. When God says that chapter is done, but a new chapter is beginning, amen. Seize the opportunity. Amen. Anna didn't sit back and say, oh my, I just hate God. I hate my life. I hate my circumstances. She said, well, God's done taking that out of my life. Paul said, I wish you were all as I am. What do you mean by that? Paul was single. You know why he said that? He said, because I don't have the worry and the care and the burden over my family. I don't have to worry about it. He said, you know why? He said, I can dedicate myself wholly to the Lord. You know what Anna said? She said, well, Lord, you done closed that door. But praise God, I see a door open up at the temple. I see a place for me to be. I see a job for me to do. And I can give my 100% undivided attention to doing what you would have me to do. Don't let your circumstances make you bitter. Let them make you better. And let them make you a better Christian. Let them make you a better witness. Let them make you a better partner for those around you. You know, we're all partners together in this thing. Amen. We're all part of a family. Don't let your circumstances take you down, but let them build you up and strengthen you. Let them be stepping stones to the place where God wants to use you and with what God wants to do for you. Amen. The Bible says she was a widow 84 years, but she didn't allow it to get her down. Paul said, I learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. That's hard to do sometimes. Amen. You say, well, that's easy if people write that kind of stuff and, you know, the motivational speakers. Well, Paul's talking about experience that he's had in life. He said, 5 times of the Jews received I 40 stripes, save one. 39 stripes, 5 times he was beaten of the Jews. 5 times he was beaten with rods. He was stoned and left for dead. He was shipwrecked. And he said, a night and a day have I spent in the deep.
Y'all remember Bill Cosby's bit about Noah? He's doing the part about Noah and who's going to do this, God, and who's going to do that? And God says, Noah, how long can you tread water? Amen. A night and a day have I been in the deep. How long can you tread water? Paul was speaking from experience. And he said, I've learned in whatsoever circumstance I find myself therein to be content. Paul never stopped preaching the gospel. Paul never stopped telling people about Jesus. Paul never stopped because things weren't going his way. Paul never stopped because the circumstances weren't what he wanted them to be. His life wasn't a bed of roses, so to speak. And it wasn't unicorn tears and rainbows and all these things falling in his life. Paul faced persecution, but he was privileged, and he knew he was privileged to tell people about Jesus. He said, having food and raiment, therewith let us be content. Amen. Down in the prison. Amen. I've had people call me wanted money to get out of jail. I've had close family members call me and need money to get out of jail. And I knew jail was the best place for them to be at the moment. Amen. I said, you know what? I think the best thing for you to do is just stay right where you are. Because I know you're safe. You got three hots in a cot. Amen. Paul said, with food and raiment, therewith let us be content. You say, man, you're hard. That's fact. Amen. That's true. Food and raiment, therewith let us be content. Amen. We want everything but what we need. And God gives us more than what we need. And we think we have nothing. Amen. And then we complain. You know what gets us complaining? The same thing that gets us in trouble in the midst of the storm. We quit looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We quit looking at Him that gives us all things. We quit looking at Him that supplies all things. We quit looking at Him that does all things. Anna didn't let these things get in her way. She didn't let these issues keep her from doing what was God's calling for her life, or God had put her. Not only was she just left there, but God gave her a title. He called her a prophetess. Amen. He called her a prophet. He let her see things and know things that other people wasn't privileged to know. She had no children. She had no husband. But praise God, she wasn't alone. She had Jesus. Instead of the things that would hinder her, she had the things that would help her to give God the glory, to give God the praise. She had no child of her own. But praise God, she could tell about the child of God that was coming, the Messiah, the Deliverer, the Christ, the Lord, the King of Kings, the one who Israel was searching for, longing for, hoping for, the one who the world still needs to hear about. Amen. She never stopped telling the world about Jesus. Lesson number three is you're never too old. You're never too old to serve the Lord. You're never too old to be about the Master's business. You're never too old. You know, some people, they just want to drop out. They want to quit. But God hasn't changed. Amen. I got saved as a young man. I'm 60 years old. I'll soon be 61. Wow. Soon be 61. But the same God that saved me is the same God today. Amen. The same God that was good to me as a young man, as a teenager, is the same God that's been good to me all through my life. They're the same God that brought me to every trial and every trouble and every problem I faced in my life is the same God that's going to be with me today as I face the trials and the tribulations of life. I look at what God told His people in Isaiah chapter number 46, verse number 4. He says, and even to your old age I am He, and even to the hoar hair will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and I will deliver you, even to your hoar hair. That's your white hair. That's the silver hair. That's the gray hair. However you want to look at it, that's what God has called it. And he said, you know what? Even to your old age, I'm going to be there. Amen. Even to your old age, there's still something I got for you to do. Verse 37, it says, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. Amen. Now there are some that say, well, she didn't live at the temple, but I believe she did. There were apartments made in the temple for the priests as they came to serve in their time, their courses. They had so many months that it was their responsibility to come, and then they would go back to their homes, and then the next group, the next course would come in, and they'd move into the apartment, and they would take it. I believe Anna lived. I believe Anna stayed. I believe Anna centered her life around the temple, around serving God, around what God would have for her to do. She was old. She was stricken in years, but praise God, she was still a prophetess. She had a mission. She had an obligation. She had a duty. And let me tell you something, friend. It don't matter how old you get. God still has something for you to do. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Do you realize Noah was 480 years old? How many octarians we got here? 80 years old or older. And you feel old? Well, this ought to perk you right up, you spring chicken. Amen. Noah was 480 years old when he started building the ark. Amen. Moses was 80 years old before God ever called him into service. His predecessor, Joshua, was 80 years old as well when he became the general of the Lord's army to lead them in the conquest of Israel. Caleb was 85 years old when he looked at Joshua and said, look, he said, you see that mountain right there? He said, that's the one that God had promised unto me. That's the one that Moses said would be mine. That's the one where the giants live. That's the one that made everybody get afraid and get scared and run and turn tail and turn their back on God. But he said, you see that mountain there? He said, give me my mountain. And Caleb went and he conquered the sons of Anak, the giants that dwelt in Hebron. He throwed them plumb out and he moved right in. 85 years old. Amen. I believe Anna is around 105. And she's still doing just exactly what God had called her to do. I believe she's been doing the same thing since she was about 21. Mid-20s, early mid-20s. She'd been doing the same thing because that's what God wanted her to do. You see, the point of it is, no matter what age you are, God has something for you to do. And no matter how old you get, you're not done doing what God wants you to do to God till God... get this all right, till God is done with you and he takes you on home. Y'all looking like that meatball rolled out the door again. And it's most of y'all that was on that trip with us yesterday. So what you want us to do now? I want you to do just what Anna did. Serve God faithfully day and night. You know why? Lesson number three is we never get too old. We never get to the place. We never come to a juncture in our life where we should stop telling people about Jesus. Look at verse number 38. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. And listen to this. And spake of him to to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. You know what the world's looking for today? They're looking for hope. Amen. They don't know that they're looking for redemption, but they know they're looking for hope. They don't know they're looking for Jesus, but they know they're looking for something that they're not finding in this world. You know who has that hope? God's people does. Amen. And you know what God's people are supposed to do with that hope? They're supposed to tell other people about that hope. She told everybody that come around that was looking for redemption in Jerusalem. She told everybody, you know what our job should be? To tell everybody. Hey, man, I like an old song. We have some albums from an old group from down in West Virginia, the Christian Four. Hey, man, and one of my favorite songs on that old album is Then I Told Everybody. And then I told everybody what the Lord had done for me. Yes, I told everybody how he set my spirit free. Well, now I thought to myself I'd keep it quiet. I told it all day and I tell it all night. I want to tell everybody what the Lord has done for me. Amen. I tell you what, that should be our heart's desire. That should be our goal. That should be our marching orders. When we go out of here, I don't care if you're on a walker, in a wheelchair, 18 to 80, limp, lame, or cripple. You need to be telling everybody about how good Jesus is. Amen. And what Jesus has done. You can't tell him about the miracles that he done other than what you read in the Bible, but praise God, you can tell him about the greatest of all miracle in your life when he saved your soul. Amen. The apostle Paul said, for I'm now ready to be offered up and the time of my departure is at hand. He's writing this from prison. I believe just a few short days, maybe a few short hours before his execution. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Paul never quit. I believe, that's just conjecture on my part, I don't believe the Apostle Paul let an opportunity go by that he didn't tell people about Jesus. I believe as they was escorting him down to the chopping block, he was telling them old Roman soldiers about what Jesus had done in his life one day on the road to Damascus. I believe as they had him kneel there and had him lay his head, no doubt, maybe he looked up one time and says, don't forget. Whosoever believeth in the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe to the last breath that was in him, the Apostle Paul was telling everybody about Jesus. You know what Anna teaches us? To never stop telling the blessed old story. To never stop sharing the gospel. The good news. That's what gospel means, is the good news. The good news is God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The good news is that whosoever believeth in his heart and confesseth with his mouth the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. The good news is that when I'm saved, the grave no more has a claim on me. The psalmist said, yea, though I go through the shadow of the valley of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. The good news is I have a home eternal in the heavens. And I hope that on my dying bed, I hope with my dying breath, I'm still telling somebody about Jesus. Lessons from a senior saint. God doesn't care what other people think, what other people say. He'll still use you. God doesn't care about your circumstances. I told Jonathan, I said, when the disciples were out in that boat rowing and the winds were contrary and the storm was a kicking up, that Jesus came a walking to them on the water, and they supposing him to have been a spirit or a ghost were frighted. In other words, they were scared. And just Jesus said, "Be not afraid, it's I." You know what that tells you? Jesus is the eye of the storm. Don't let your circumstances make you bitter. When you're going through the storms of life, just remember you know the eye. Amen. You know the eye that can speak peace. Sometimes he calms the storms. But Jonathan, sometimes he just calms your heart and lets the storm rage. I like that saying. Amen. God has something for you to do, and he wants you to never stop doing it. Brother Jim, sister.